Welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. My name is Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I help private practice owners align their business back with their soul's calling, with their big vision, and with their soul's purpose. Unlike other private practice coaches, I've traveled the world in search of spiritual resources, spiritual tools, education, and information so that you can have the transformation that your soul desires and needs, so that you can up-level your business. How much fun is this? I love it so much. Guys, if you're not already a member of the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group, please check out the show notes. I would love for you to be there. In the meantime, thank you so much for pushing play today. Let's begin. Good morning, everybody. Oh, it's good afternoon now, isn't it? It's 12:15. Thank you so much for pushing play on another episode, and welcome to all of the new subscribers. I am I'm happy at the moment. I'm just buzzing. You know, we've got this great conversation going on in the ACPPO, and it's just so powerful. And oh my gosh, I love this group so much because everybody in this group is so coachable and so open to learning and, you know, wanting to improve all things to do with private practice, but more than just the, sorry, if you can hear little bings going off, it's just the notifications from the group. I don't know how to turn them off on my computer. I tried a moment ago by tapping on my keyboard, the little mute button, but then my speaker wasn't working or my microphone wasn't working. So sorry about that. As I said, it's just a very active group. Everybody's in there helping each other. And we're talking about structure as well as mindset. And of course, you know me, I love to do all of this through an overlay of spirituality. And it's just so much fun, like seeing everybody just be so open and raw with their experiences, and seeing everybody learn from each other. It's just like my highest joy to be there. Like, honestly, I'm obsessed with that group. It's so good. And what else did I want to say? In that group, what did I share this week? I shared something. I made a fee schedule for counselors because in psychology and in social work and in, you know, other allied health professions, you know, there's these fee schedules, but we don't actually have one in counseling. So I thought, blow it, I'm just going to make one, because I've been on both sides of the fence, having been a psychologist and now a counselor. I know what psychologists have that counselors don't. So I'm trying to bridge that gap for everybody. And created this fee schedule. And I have to say, I was a little bit nervous about sharing it because, well, what you may or may not know is that because there hasn't been something basic like a fee schedule available for counselors, there's been a lot of confusion about what to charge. And that's what we're going to address today, actually. I put that together. I was nervous because there are a lot of people that, in my professional opinion, are significantly undercharging for their service for all sorts of reasons. But this has like such a knock-on effect for everything else. And that's what I want to dive into today. But I have to say, overall, there were some people that were loving the fee schedule. Some people were like, oh my gosh, Brooklyn, how am I going to implement this? Like, I can't charge this. And for the most part, people were just like taking it in their stride, which I love. Now, if you did download the fee schedule, I want to bring your attention to the page that has the recommended hourly rate on it, because you can absolutely use that as a reference in your marketing. You could print that off and keep it at reception alongside your own fees. So this just gives clients that sense of value that they're getting from your service, all those sorts of things. And of course, one of the big things that often comes up for many counselors is they just don't charge for admin. Yet in other professions, we do. So in that fee schedule, of course, I've included a very, very basic overview of some of those things that you can absolutely be charging for, so that it's not, I think somebody called it wasted time or something like that. So I wanted to show you that you do get to bill for admin. It's just you didn't know that you could. So now hopefully this gives you a little bit more confidence moving forward. So if you haven't got it, jump in the group. You can download it from there, or hit pause on this podcast send me an email and just request a copy and I will get it to you so that you can have a look. I know, it's so good, isn't it? Like, I really just wanted to, having this big transition, you know, I can't believe it's been just over a year now since I retired from psychology. I can't believe the contrast between other professions and counselors. And it's my opinion, and it's my, I feel like at the moment, this is just like part of my calling, is to try and raise up the profession. But I don't want to follow the traditional ways, because you know me, I'm not a traditional person, am I? No, I like to go outside the traditional, outside the mainstream. So yeah, that's why I put it together. And to give you guys some clarity about what to charge for, how much to charge, all that sort of stuff. But of course, it's quite topical as a result of me releasing this. And that's why we're going to have this discussion today. The other reason we're having this discussion is because it's also come about, I've had about three in the last 24 hours private messages about discounting services. And, you know, I was sort of suggesting maybe check with your governing body to make sure that it's ethical. And people coming back to me going, why wouldn't it be ethical? If people can't afford a service, you should definitely discount a package for them. So I was having to explain to them about the ethics behind offering discounts to vulnerable members of the community, and how that, you know, doesn't go against it goes against Australian consumer law, and that in other professions, we actually have guidelines that seek to keep vulnerable people safe from, you know, well, I don't want to say financial predators, but that's the word that came into my mind, but from people signing up for things that they might not be able to afford and then suffering the consequences of that, whether it's debt collection or having a credit score, you know, put against their name or something like that. So there are things in place in other professions, but they're not in counseling yet. So again, this is just an opportunity for me to say to you, hey, have you even thought about this? Like, this is something that needs to be considered when you're looking at your fees. So I know it's not making sense to counselors now, but give me some time so that I can explain this and what it means and how we can go about setting our fees in a way that's ethical, safe for everybody, that's not going to get you into trouble, that's not going to compromise the client's, you know, financial standing or anything like that. Okay. Yeah. So first of all, let me begin by saying I understand why so many of us, no matter what our profession is, I understand why so many of us, mostly we're women in you know, social work and counseling and psychology, I know. So I think it affects us a little bit differently perhaps to some of the men, but I totally get it when other industries might be telling you or influencing your perception of what you can charge. Now, again, just because I've been across two different industries that have a lot of overlap, I can absolutely say that I've observed firsthand other professionals, allied health professionals, telling counsellors that they shouldn't be charging X, Y, and Z because they're not as qualified or they're not doing this or they're not doing that. And I've seen and observed firsthand counsellors take that to heart and then go away and burn themselves out in practice because they're seeing a high volume of clients for a really low fee. Okay, so it's not your fault if you're a counsellor and you're undercharging. I totally get it. It's really hard to charge your worth when you're getting, you know, this message, this narrative in different communities and groups all the time that your services aren't up to a certain standard or up to a certain level. I think sometimes too, this is one of my big bugbears, you know, this came up during the week. Someone was asking me, hey, what do you mean you're not in ACA or PACFA? And here's what I want to share with you about that, just in, you know, because it's come up and just in the interest of me being, of course, transparent with you. But I feel like ACA and PACFA are coming together to really try so hard to get counsellors on Medicare. And they have used sort of the idea, if you like, in my opinion, it's only my opinion, but they're pushing an idea that, you know, counsellors need to be recognised, and once we're on Medicare, we'll be recognised, and, you know, that we need to prove ourselves that we're good enough to be on Medicare. And I just think if your peak bodies are essentially telling you that you're not good enough unless we can get on Medicare, that's a big issue for me. Like, I think that you're already good enough. I think that we are all already skilled, qualified, good enough to help. And you know what? If people want to be on Medicare, there are pathways and there are streams that they can follow with their education to do that. You know, Medicare is a medical model and it's based on science and it's based on, you know, clinical trials of evidence-based interventions and all that sort of stuff. And it's there for a reason. It's to help people who have, you know, mental health issues that need a significant level of scientific practical care. Now, counselling is very different to that. Counselling is, well, you do mild to moderate and you can see people short term or long term and you can use a scope of practices. There's no right or wrong way. There's the way that's right for the client and all of that sort of stuff. And I think if this is what we've signed up to do, if this is the space we've signed up to be in, how dare our so-called peak bodies essentially tell us, well, we're not good enough, or we're not going to be good enough or seen to be professional enough until we are on. I mean, this if that, if this then that mentality just flies in the face of what counselling is all about for me. And it doesn't represent what so many counsellors want to do. A lot of us are here because we don't want to be on Medicare. So it's not reflective really of all of the members' perspectives on what all of the members want. And the reason that I know this is because I have helped in the last 5 years. I know this because with my coach, I was just looking at my data this week, I have helped over 1,000 women in private practice. And what was I going to say? Nearly all of them were either whatever level it was, but they were either with PACFA or with ACA. Now, you know that I work with a certain type of client that, you know, pushes against the traditional, the mainstream. This is somebody who accepts as a place for mainstream scientific approaches, but who also knows that she has her own unique gifts to help people and support people, and that not all of those gifts are going to fit into a medical model, right? I'm talking about things like, I don't know, metaphysical approaches, we were talking about archetypes in one of the groups this week, using archetypes, using logotherapy, using narrative therapy, using art therapy. Do you know what I mean? All of these types of things. I've just gone off on a tangent, totally lost my track of thought, but I'll come back to it. But yeah, anyway, this is the space that counselors are in, and I believe that you are already good enough, that unless you recognize your own worth, nobody else is going to recognize it for you. And until you can embody your own worth, you can't expect that other people are going to. And I think it's just a real disappointment that we've got peak bodies that try and tell us that we've got to be part of a system that many of us don't align with. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, of all those clients that I worked with, they were all nearly members of ACA and PACFA, but they don't want to have anything to do with Medicare. Yeah, ACA and PACFA are like, we're representing our members. And do you know what? This is exactly what happened in psychology. In psychology, we had, it wasn't ACA or PACFA, it was called the APS, the Australian Psychological Society. And they went along and took everybody's membership money and said that they were advocating for all members, but actually they weren't advocating for all members. They were acting for a small number of members, and it became very divisive. We ended up with two-tier systems. People still struggle with the two-tier systems. It worked out well for some people, but they're in the minority. For the majority of people, it didn't work out at all. And we saw, you know, there was a bit of an exodus of people leaving psychology, et cetera, et cetera. And I just don't think it's healthy, and I don't see why counsellors or our peak bodies want to be replicating that. I mean, I don't understand why they can't look at that mess that happened in psychology and learn from it and say, hey, this isn't what we want to do. This isn't how we want to do it. How can we represent members that do want to be on Medicare, as well as not leave members behind who don't want to be? So anyway, there's all of this, and it comes back to money and worth and recognition and all of that sort of stuff. Yeah. Anyway, that's me on a rant, isn't it? Sorry about that. I just get really worked up about it because I guess using the four levels of consciousness framework that I've already shared with you, I already try my very, very best to operate in, you know, this either by me or through me consciousness. And I have to believe that, and I do wholeheartedly believe that counselors are already good enough in their own right. I think we undermine our worth by comparing ourselves to other professions. Yeah, there's overlap. Psychologists do counseling, but they do other things as well that are based in that scientific medical model. Counselors aren't psychologists. Anyway, so what do I want to get to next? Yeah. Also, you've got a narrative in the professional community that doesn't really support the perceived status of counsellors. And that's what I was alluding to before. You know, we get other allied health professionals openly saying in online forums that counsellors aren't qualified as they are and therefore shouldn't be charging as much. And, you know, it's really sad because it can leave you worrying about what to actually charge for your services. And it can leave you wondering whether or not it's actually acceptable. Is it acceptable by your peers to charge this amount? Is it acceptable for clients that you charge this amount? Is it acceptable for you that you charge this amount? And it can feel you really doubting your worth and feeling like you need to justify decisions that you make around the financial side of your practice, which, by the way, is nobody's business. It's your business. It's your private practice. You're not accountable or anything like that to anybody else. You get to charge what's aligned for you. But it can also make you feel very, very confused about, well, what do I base a fee on? Like, what determines my fee? And when I say confusion, some people will say to me, oh, if they use this language, I only have a diploma. I think, remove the word only. You've got a diploma. Or other people say, oh, I've only got a bachelor's. You know, and others will say, I've only got a master's. I think stop saying the word only, because you're implying that you've got to reach some magical level before you can charge a fee. Let me tell you, as somebody who's got a PhD, there are people that are highly qualified that just aren't good at counseling or even psychology for that matter. And there are other people who don't have a PhD or, you know, perhaps a master's, who are so good and their books are fully booked and they've got wait list, not because of their fee, but because of how good their work is. You know, they've got this amazing reputation for helping people get these transformations. So when you start basing your fee on a qualification, we've got an issue. When we start basing your fee on your level of experience, we've got an issue. Now, this comes up because sometimes younger women will say to me, well, I can't charge what somebody else who's older than me can because they've got more life experience. And I think that's BS as well, because we're making a false assumption about, you know, older people having more life experience. When I think you and I both know the reality is that there are plenty of young people who have gone through a heck of a lot more than some of us. Okay, so don't make the mistake of equating age with life experience. Just like there are some younger people that have had, you know, exposure to all sorts of horrific things and horrible things and traumas, there are also a proportion that have had a sheltered existence, and it's no different at any age of the lifespan. So taking experience, taking qualifications off the table, it can then feel really confusing about, well, okay, then Brooklyn, what do I base my fee on? And that's why I created that fee schedule for you. Okay, you need a guideline. Yeah. And then, again, if you're not charging, you know, in air quotes, the right fee for your practice, it can make you feel really, really horrible, make you feel like, well, you know, do you know what, Brooklyn, I'm a great therapist, but I'm horrible at the business side of private practice. But don't worry, that's where I come in, and you know that I'm here to help you with that. But I guess, you know, externally, what happens when we have all of that internal stuff going on is we start showing up in our practice and undercharging, or we don't charge. We let people off fees because, you know, they have a reason or an excuse, and we buy it and we say, well, okay, then, yeah, it wouldn't be fair of me to charge you, et cetera, et cetera. Or we don't stick to our boundaries, or we don't invoke our policies and procedures that we've put in place. And big things too, like if you're not aligned with your fee, how the heck are you going to market your service? You're not. You're going to market it apologetically. You're going to play small. You're not going to put yourself out there because you're going to be worried about pushback on your fee. And what happens when you're not marketing well? You know, it's not only that some practices just don't market. There are other practices that market, but they don't do it well because they're fearful. They're fearful of being judged. So many women say to me, oh, I don't want to put my fee on my website because, you know, what if somebody sees it? Well, big whoop. What if somebody sees it? Isn't it better that you feel aligned with your fee and you put a fee on that website that feels good for you? And we're clear with everybody from the upfront, but it's a personal decision, but I think the way you feel about your fee is a direct result of the meaning that you attribute to it. And so we're back to how these internal experiences of your fee and fee setting have an external manifestation in your private practice. Yeah. And the other thing too is that when we're not feeling good about our fee, we can end up taking on clients that, you know, we shouldn't be working with, or that actually we don't want to be working with because they're not our soulmate client. They're not our dream client. They're not a client that aligns with our higher purpose at this point in time. Yeah. Clients that we should probably have referred on. And I think, you know, it's just my opinion, but I feel and 100% believe that you shouldn't have to ever worry about your fee at all, okay? I believe that you get to set a fee that enables you to really embody the values of your private practice, that really allow you to embody your higher purpose, so that when you're working and you're being remunerated, as I've said this before, clients become your channel of abundance, but you are also their channel of abundance. And so we have this beautiful movement of the energy. Yes, sure, it's been transmuted. We're not talking about abundance at both ends of, you know, the infinity eight here, but it's abundance nonetheless. We're helping them with abundance in terms of help, support, time, space, energy, transformation, connection, relationship, rapport, non-judgmental, or all of those sorts of things. But they're our financial channel of abundance, yeah? And when we can accept that and embody that and be okay with that, you set a fee then that feels aligned for you, because you know that that abundance loop isn't kinked. It continues to flow. What comes in is going to go out. What goes out comes back in. And it's from this mindset of growth, it's this mindset of expansion that then says, that allows you to say to yourself, okay, I'm receiving this money. How will receiving this money benefit my clients in the future? How will receiving this money benefit the practice in the future? How will receiving this money benefit my health and well-being? What will having this income allow me to do that will in turn allow me to show up in the best way I can for my beautiful soulmate clients? Do you see what I'm saying? And it could be very practical things, like maybe that income is earmarked for better supervision, better mentoring, better private practice coaching, better advertising, a better website. Maybe it allows you to scale the practice and put on a couple of subcontractors. You know, you have a couple of subbies doing some work for you. Give peers and colleagues and people who are upcoming in our profession to have opportunities that perhaps you and I didn't have, by providing them with a working environment that supports them in being flexible and they can work from home or work online or do the telehealth or face-to-face, whatever it is. And by doing that, giving them those opportunities, they get to increase the channel of abundance and the flow of abundance by helping more clients than you'd be able to help if you were just by yourself. Do you see what I mean? This is what becomes available. So no, you should never, ever, ever have to feel like you've got to justify your fees, okay? And you should never feel coerced into selecting a fee that doesn't feel right for you, because as soon as you do that, it's going to have a ripple effect and externally manifest in all those ways that we spoke about before. And do you know what? I'm not just giving this lip service, guys. You know, I completely and totally understand what it feels like to wrestle with your fees, because, again, I've been there too. And if you've been listening to these podcasts for a while, you'll know that, okay? You've heard me share the story a number of times, so I won't go into it again, don't worry. But since my experience wrestling with my fees and stuffing it up the first once or twice, it took me time to get to the fee that felt right for me. And do you know what? It wasn't about basing it on my qualifications. It wasn't about basing it on my experience. It was the way I came to my fee was using a fee schedule as a guide because I felt I needed that structure. And then I could play within the space of that structure. So that was the first thing. And the second thing was I used metaphysical approaches to help me. I know that sounds so woo, doesn't it? I love it so much. Come on, I'm not going to lie. When I say metaphysical approaches, I'm talking about, you know, quantum leaping, quantum jumping, manifesting, processing limiting beliefs, doing all of those things, working with my crystals, working with my cards. I did what I needed to do that helped me land on a fee that felt right for me. And guess what? Since then, I haven't looked back. My fees go up every year, and I never ever worry about whether or not people are going to pay them or people can afford to pay them or anything. It's not even a thing anymore. Yeah. And I want you to be able to feel like that too, because when you can release the fear and the angst around your fee, those external manifestations of being out of alignment with your fee just fall by the wayside, and you become a better embodiment of your own worth. And then you don't need things like validation from Medicare that you're okay to go ahead and charge fees and that you can work with certain clients. No, okay? You are a sovereign being, your practice is a sovereign practice, and sovereignty means you have ownership and control over the business operations, over how you want to show up when it comes to your fees, right? So anyway, I've got a plan that you can use. So I'll give it to you. It's like a little bit of a five-step plan, super easy. But of course, step one is you want to become aware of what you're saying to yourself. What's that internal dialogue? What's that self-talk that comes up for you when you look at your fee? Now, go ahead and look at your fee right now and tune in to what your head says. I want you to tune in to what your heart and soul say. Right? Tune into your body. Where do you feel your fee in your body? And what does it feel like? Like, just be aware of what's coming up for you with your current fee, okay? And then take it a step deeper, go deeper with this and notice how what you're experiencing with this fee is manifesting in your practice now. What's happening? Are you hesitant about marketing? Do you not send emails to clients? Are you not following up with people? Are you being wishy-washy about your fees? Are you charging some people one fee and other people another? Or do you have a really confusing cancellation policy? It's something like, if you cancel within 72 hours, it's only 17%. But if it's, you know, 48 to 24, then it's only 53%. And if it's, do you have that going on? Like, is that all wishy-washy and confusing? Do you not even have a cancellation fee? So think about that. And what's the effect of you not having consistency with your fee? Or what's the effect of not having a cancellation fee? Or what's the effect of you not invoking your cancellation fee policy? Or you not, do you know what I mean? You see where I'm going with this. The third step is to really imagine, allow yourself to go there and really connect in with the energy of charging a fee that feels right for you. And what's happening in your practice when you do that? Like, what's different for you? How do you feel? What do you think? What do you say? What do you do differently when you feel really, 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 really good about your practice, about the fee that you're charging for your services? What happens then? You know, imagine that. Imagine being able to connect in with a fee that feels really, 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 really good for you. And then you're more comfortable putting yourself out there and not playing small. And you get to forget about the money and just focus on sharing your message and sharing your content and helping people and serving people and doing all those sorts of things. What will the impact of that be on your practice, right? It's pretty cool, huh? And so from there, I want you to create a new mindset around your money. And if you want to, create an affirmation or a mantra, something that you can connect in with every single day before you turn on the computer, and take action that really aligns with this new money mindset for yourself. And I guarantee that if you take these steps and do this work, you're going to feel more at ease, more in control, more confident, and you'll be able to stop doing things like deliberately, consciously marketing the practice, because you'll start to naturally attract people who want to work with you. And honestly, it does not get any better than that. Yeah. I mean, I hardly ever market. I don't run Instagram ads and things like that. You know, I don't have big ads and banners on my website or anything like that. Yes, I sell my products, but I'm not pushing them onto people every single day. People naturally gravitate towards a website or a Facebook post or something like that. And 9 times out of 10, they'll send me an email or a private message and say, hey, I've been thinking about coaching. Are you taking on any new clients at the moment? So what happens is you attract people to you because suddenly it's not about the money anymore. It's about how you're showing up and the energy that you're showing up in. So here's what to do next, right? This is the next step. So while you've got your pen and paper there, make a note, book an appointment with me. The link is in the comments. If you want to hit pause now, hit pause now. But the link is in the comments. Book an appointment with me and let's get your money mindset sorted out so that you can shift from being constricted in your practice and feeling not confident, and let's release all of that and help you feeling more aligned and expansive with your feet, okay? Second, if you haven't already, grab the guide to building a private practice without Medicare rebates. Now, it's a free guide that I released in the ACPPO. If you want a copy of it, again, just ask me. I can get it over to you. Not a problem. But I want you to see that you don't need to be on Medicare. Whether you're a social worker, psychologist, or counselor, you do not need to be on Medicare to be able to create a thriving, profitable, soul-aligned practice that connects in with your higher purpose and attracts soulmate clients to the business, okay? Again, hit pause if you want to and click the link. Just go and get that guide now, or let me know if you're not in the ACPPO, if you'd like me to send it to you, and I will. Okay, so here's what I want you to take away from our show today, and that's that you can absolutely shift from feeling overwhelmed and confused and not good enough and all those sorts of yucky things in your practice when it comes to fees to feeling worthy and to embodying a fee that really truly aligns with your higher self and higher purpose, right? For the good of everybody. And if you don't take action now, then you are going to stay exactly where you are. And how's that going to feel? Like in 12 months' time, how is that going to feel for you if you stay exactly where you are? Undercharging, feeling like your services aren't valuable, feeling like your services aren't good enough or like they're not up to standard. Maybe you'll even feel like you're beginning to exhibit some symptoms, if you're not already, of burning out. So this is your invitation. You are at the fork in the road. You get to stay on the path that you're on, but think about what that's going to be like 12 months from now, or you get to change, okay? I'm here for you. Let me know if you need help with it and give me some feedback on this. Let me know how this landed for you, okay? You get to move from to me consciousness to either by me consciousness by taking responsibility for your fee. If you're already identifying as being in buy me consciousness when it comes to your fee, this is your opportunity and your invitation to move to through me consciousness with your fee, right? Allowing yourself to be guided by your inner guidance, by that intuition, by your higher self, by source, by spirit, by God, by whatever energy or verbiage you want to use to it. You have to become the right vibrational match for the fee that you want to charge and for the client that you want to serve, right? If you want to serve at a certain fee level, there's no point you vibrating at a lower fee level, right? You have to become a vibrational match in order to receive it. And that means doing the inner work first, okay? So we get those beautiful external manifestations happening for your practice, okay? And if you're already in through me consciousness and you want to take this to as me consciousness, you can absolutely do that by recognizing and understanding, hey, there isn't a separation between me and source or me and the universe or me and God or whatever, as I said, whatever language you choose to use, you get to say, hey, I am that. I am that. I am source. I am the universe. I am that embodiment of the universe. I am that embodiment of source. I am that embodiment of spirit. I am that embodiment of my inner guidance. Right? And operate from that space. The other thing that you can do in as me consciousness is start to say, you know, objectively, have a look at what's happening with the fees in your private practice and ask yourself, what is this fee mirroring in me? What is this fee or the situation around the fee is mirroring in me. So if you're noticing that you're getting clients ring and then when they hear the fee, they're disengaging and they don't want to book in, ask yourself, where in my life am I disengaging because of a fee? Right? Maybe you want to go and do personal training with a personal trainer 3 times a week and they've told you the fee is going to be $500 and you're saying no and you disengage. Or maybe you want to go and get braces for your teeth and then you find out what the fee is and you back out of that because you're like, no. If this is happening in your practice, if you're noticing people disengaging because of the fee in your practice, it means you're disengaging from a fee in some other area of your personal or business life. For example, so have a think about what patterns you're seeing with your fee. If you're getting patterns of people ringing up asking for discounts, have a look at your own personal life. Where are you asking for discounts? Have a look in your business life. Where are you asking for discounts, right? Work on that. Clear that energy and you'll notice a change in the manifestation of what's coming through in the practice. And you'll notice that you get less and less clients asking for discounts. If you get clients saying to you, oh, this all sounds great, but I really need to think about it. I'll come back to you later. And then they're not coming back to you. Have a think. Where in my life am I doing this? Where in my life am I saying to people, this sounds really great and I'd love to do it, but I need to think about it. I'll come back to you. Where are you doing that? Is that happening when you're buying property, when you're buying a car, when you're getting, I don't know, what is it? What's happening? Where is this happening in your life? And what do you need to unblock to do that? Okay, so I told you, like, this is so much fun, isn't it? You don't get this in other private practice episodes, other private practice podcasts. You know, they love to talk about the structure and the policy and blah, 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 blah. But you and I, we love to do this energetic work, don't we? And so this is how you sell your fees energetically. Not sell them, but this is how you, that was the wrong word, sorry. This is how you get to choose and know that you are charging the right fee for your practice, yeah? By tuning into the energetics of your fee. I know, actually, I think I'll call the podcast something about the energetics of fees in private practice. Yes, that's what I'll do. Oh my gosh, this is so much fun. Guys, I feel like I'm having a breakthrough of my own over here and I hope that you're experiencing something similar. Let me know how you go. As I said, book your session with me. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. And grab your copy of the, you know, how to build referrals for your private practice without the Medicare rebate as well. Let me know how you go with it all. And I will see you in the next episode, which comes out on Wednesday. Have an awesome weekend, everybody. I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast today. If you're looking for clarity, if you need help with branding, your processes, and bringing everything into alignment with your soul's purpose for your private practice, head to the show notes and click the link for more information about the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group. You are going to love it. I can't wait to see you in there. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.